Tory leadership hopeful Boris Johnson has pledged to pass a new law to stop prosecutions of former soldiers who served in Northern Ireland. Let's talk with Alison Morris from the Irish News and Ben Lowry from the Newsletter. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Ben, we'll start with you. He's also said he'll appoint a veterans minister to his cabinet if he becomes prime minister. Now, this is citing the Sun's newspaper, their veterans pledge. Mr. Johnson is quoted as saying, "We need to end unfair trials of people who served Queen and country."
Yeah, this has been a long time coming because there's been growing anger in Great Britain over the prosecution of soldiers. It's a sort of slow burning thing that's been particularly within the Conservative Party building up over a period of time. He says that he's going to end, or he wants to see an end to, unfair prosecutions. Maybe he's giving himself a bit of wriggle room. But anybody who's listening to this who's confused as to what's going on, don't be surprised at being confused, because those of us who follow it closely are not sure what's going on. One of the things is that the legacy consultation, which is when the public was asked about the plans to deal with legacy, came out, and the summary of it recently was published. It doesn't have anything about amnesty or statute of limitations. In fact, they did emphasise that the public doesn't want it, which suggests they didn't want to that they're going to try to avoid it happening. And it's not clear why it didn't happen. It might be to placate Sinn Féin, because Sinn Féin would be very unhappy at anything that was like a statute of limitations. It might be that it was to make it easier for the DUP, so that they can support the legacy by sort of sidestepping the issue. But there's no question that with the change of Conservative leader, something was going to change, and it's looking like Boris Johnson's going to be, what he says, is tough on this.
And you know yourself, Ben, that there will be many saying, well, this is basically Boris Johnson saying what he thinks the electorate want to, him to say, that he's simply looking for votes, ice cream for everyone.
Well, I think the more important thing is what for the Conservative candidates at the moment is what Tories think. And Tories, to a person, are outraged at this. And I must say Unionists are as well. I mean, as a newspaper, obviously we're a Unionist paper, we've taken a very strong position against this. Now, there was a big debate in the House of Commons this week in which the government sort of leant towards, it's not clear what happened, this was the same debate. I was over for it earlier in the week, that same-sex marriage and abortion came up. The government was leaning towards sympathy to some sort of way of stopping prosecutions, and the DUP MPs were mentioning it and so on. But this is such a big issue. For example, one of the things that we're really concerned about, which was barely mentioned in the House of Commons, one of the most problematic aspects of this, if you are somebody who defends the state forces, a lot of people are very angry against the state forces and the nationalist side, but if you do defend them, we're very concerned about the police misconduct charges, the police misconduct aspect of these proposals, in which policemen could be pulled up for things that wouldn't stand up in a criminal court. In other words, in summary, this is a mess.
Alison Morris, let's talk in particular about that issue. He said that he'll appoint a veterans minister to his cabinet if he becomes prime minister, which is weeks away, if it happens.
You wouldn't have needed a crystal ball to see this coming. When Boris Johnson threw his hat in his ring for the Tory leadership, the first two people who came out and backed him were Johnny Mercer and Gavin Williamson. Both of those two MPs have been the people who have been most pushing for a statute of limitations or an amnesty for veterans in Westminster. So clearly, and we know the kind of character, I think we believe, you know, the kind of character that Boris is, and he likes to be all things to all people, and he clearly had made promises or assurances to those MPs as to what he could deliver in relation to and return for their support. The difference with the awkward thing for him is he still needs the DUP confidence and supply team to stay in power if he is chosen as the new leader. And the DUP have said they're not in favour of any statute of limitations. And we also know that a statute of limitations is internationally illegal unless it applies across the board. So is Boris Johnson then saying that he is going to provide a way to prevent further investigations or charges being levelled against former members of the British Army, and in return for that, accept that no one can ever be charged in relation to any historic events in Northern Ireland? Because that's basically what's going to have to happen. And we know that all sorts of lawyers and international legal experts have went over this and said there is no way it can be just applied to one group. It'll have to be applied across the board. As usual, I don't think Boris has thought this through. He said what he thought is popular, what he thinks is going to be popular, not just with the Tory MPs, but also with the Conservative membership. and the Conservative membership would be quite high in a lot of those areas, which would be considered, you know, military areas, places where there's military bases where a lot of veterans settle after they retire, and other kind of places where he's going in trying to garner votes for his leadership challenge. So I'm not sure that what he's promising he can deliver. And as Ben said, there's a bit of a fudge around the language with the word unfair prosecutions. I don't think anyone would be in favour of anyone being pursued for prosecution unfairly. The PPS can only go where the evidence is.
While I fundamentally agree with what Alison's analysis is, I think the position is much more, the opposition is much more serious than she states. Not MPs who happen to have served or be in areas where there are lots of veterans. The average man in the street, insofar as they think about this, is outraged at soldier prosecutions. And even very many people in Northern Ireland are outraged at the idea of the security forces being prosecuted. Even if they did something wrong in a split second that was clearly patently wrong, then it opens up the prospect of what do you do? Forget about low-level terrorists. What do you do about the leaders of terrorist organisations? And let's talk about leaders who are dead, where we can, you know, more candidly talk about their record. Very few of these people were prosecuted. We don't know why. There weren't charges like orchestrating terrorism or anything like that. And so you get into the situation in which a soldier, in a split-second decision that might have obviously been wrong, is prosecuted, and a terrorist leader for decades, year after year after year, of orchestrating terrorism isn't. And that is why the public opposition to this is very great. And Alison said something that's basically right. The DUP seems to be, it's not quite clear, opposed to an amnesty. That we get different signals from that. The DUP could find itself in the situation of going against this public opinion on the basis that it doesn't want an amnesty because it wants IRA leaders and everyone who should be prosecuted to be prosecuted.
Alison?
Yeah, but I mean, the difficulty is, and the reality of this situation is that, you know, regardless of how hurtful it might be for victims, prosecutions in a criminal sense are just very unlikely. And as every year passes, they become more and more unlikely. We'll get to the point where we won't have a statute of limitations.
You disagree, Ben?
We'll just have a position where there just won't be the evidence that exists to prosecute anyone. And I think that's, at this point in time, I always thought the British government's idea of dealing with legacy was to run the clock down until that was the case. It's now all came to a head, and as Ben has said, there's been a huge amount of public feeling and emotion whipped up, especially this story we're talking about. It's in the front page of The Sun. I think The Express has been doing a lot of stories on this as well. So, and people in England, they don't understand our conflict and they don't understand the nuances of it. And they only see things from a one-dimensional point of view that's presented to them by the press, which is, you know, these poor aged soldiers being dragged out of their beds and prosecuted with no context to any of this. And I think the party is going to prey on that emotion, and he's going to use that
Ben, preying on emotion.
I don't think he can deliver.
Well, about the likelihood of prosecutions, where I was shaking my head, no, I don't agree on that. Now, there is a big disagreement about whether these investigations are disproportionate, and we could spend a whole programme talking about that. It's very clear to me that they are. Some people say that they are because they weren't properly investigated in the past. There's a grossly disproportionate amount of time investigating the state, at least 30%, a third of the legacy branch when the state was behind, 10% of the killings, many of which were legal, I would say overwhelmingly legal. I think that there is an imbalance. But even if there isn't, the fact of the very big focus on the security forces and the fact that they have records, even though a small number of them will be prosecuted, helps to explain, I believe, why there is this number of prosecutions that have happened and there could be several more. Okay. And then the question is, when or why are there not prosecutions of the most serious terrorists? And that is at the core of the problem. And as the public begins to understand this, the anger is going to increase, not decrease.
Let's go to the phones now. Brian, good morning to you.
Morning, Danny.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hearing statements and arguments, pros and cons of this particular problem. I'm a simple person in a sense. I just say the way I read it. Anybody who shoots someone dead in the streets, and I don't care what uniform they're wearing, and it's proven that people shot unarmed people, they go to court and let the court deal with it. It's simple. I don't know what all this talk is about. Soldiers this and soldiers this. And I won't care. If it's IRA man, UVF, I won't care. If it's proven, and they go to court. Simple.
Do you agree, Ben?
What I would
say is, understand where he's coming from.
I certainly understand where he's coming from, and there's no doubt that the state should be held to a higher standard. But what I would say in response to that is this. Okay, if this is the way that we are going to approach legacy, if we are going to take a perfect approach to the past and a very determined and very focused and very expensive approach to the past, then we have to be clear. Of the great majority of murders, 2,100 were by Republican terrorists, 1,100 by Loyalist terrorists, 360 killings by the state. There isn't agreement on the status of that. There is a mountain of unsolved terrorist crime, and it's unsolved because as the troubles went on, terrorists got better at what they did, got better at covering their tracks, got better at evading the criminal standard of beyond all reasonable doubt. So if we take this approach that every soldier has to be examined to make sure there is perfect justice, then there is a mountain of unsolved terrorist justice that will take decades and billions, be clear about this, billions of pounds to resolve. That has never been my position, as it happens insofar as my position counts. But that is the logic of that purist approach.
Alison Morris, last word on this to you.
I think just to go back on what Ben said, the reason why there were so many unsolved kills is not because terrorists in some way got better at doing their job. It's because it was seen with investigations like Operation Canova that many of them were actually in the pay of the security forces, and there's no chance of them ever being prosecuted, no matter what they did.
Okay, Alison Morris and Ben Lowry, thank you both very much for your time.